Das kann so sein, dass ich nicht mehr so schlagen kann, wenn ich mich machen darf, Yud Beis. Sagt der Mishnah, if the Kohen does Kmita on a Mincha with the intent to eat the leftover flour outside the Azara, or to eat a Kazayis of the leftover flour outside the Azara, or to burn the Kohen outside the Azara, or to burn a Kazayis of the Kohen outside the Azara, or to burn the Levain outside the Azara. So the Mincha becomes puzzle, but there's no Karis. However, if he does the Kmita with intent to eat the leftover flour the next day, or a Kazayis of it the next day, or to burn the Kohen the next day, or a Kazayis of the Kohen the next day, or to burn the Levain the next day, it's piggle and you'd be even Michayu Karis for eating it. The general rule is, anyone who does kmitza or puts the kaimitz into a kli sharis or brings it to the mizbech or burns it on the mizbech with an intent to eat something that's meant to be eaten or to burn something that's meant to be burned. So if the intent is to do so beyond this proper place, then it becomes possible, but there's no karis for eating it. If the intent is to do so beyond the proper time, it becomes piggle and there is karis for eating it as long as the matir, which is the kaimitz, is offered as it's supposed to be. What does that mean that the matir is offered like it's required to be? So Mishnah explains, if he did the kmitza without saying anything, meaning without a bad intent, and then he puts the kaimitz into a kli sharis or he brings it to the mizbech or he burns it on the mizbech with intent for beyond this time, or if he did the kmitza with intent for beyond this time and then he puts the kaimitz into the kli sharis or brings it to the mizbech or burns it on the mizbech without any bad intent, or if he did the kmitza, puts the kaimitz into a kli sharis or brings it to the mizbech or burns it on the mizbech, all with the intent for beyond this time, this would be a case where the matir was offered as required. What's meant that the matir is not offered as it's required to be? If he did the kmita with intent for beyond this allowable place and then puts the kaimitz into a kli sharis or brings it to the mizbech or burns it on the mizbech with intent for beyond this time, or he did the kmita with intent for beyond this allowable time and then puts the kaimitz into a kli sharis or brings it to the mizbech or burns it on the mizbech with intent for beyond this allowable place, or if he did the kmita and puts the kaimitz into a kli sharis or brings it to the mizbech or burns it on the mizbech with intent for beyond this allowable place while doing the other three with pigal intent, or in the case of a chatas mincha or saitas mincha, if he did the kmitza not for its sake and then puts the kaimitz into a kli sharis or brings it to the mizbech or burns it on the mizbech with intent for beyond this time, or he did the kmitza with intent for beyond this time and puts the kaimitz into a kli sharis or brings it to the mizbech or burns it on the mizbech with intent for not lishma, or if he did the kmitza, he puts into a kli sharis or brings it to the mizbeach or burns it on the mizbeach not for lishma. But these cases would be a case where the matir was not offered as it's required to be. Mishnah continues, if the Kohen intended to eat a Kazayis beyond its allowable place and then intended to eat a Kazayis beyond this time, or vice versa, or he intended to eat a half of a Kazayis beyond its allowable place and then intended to eat a half of a Kazayis beyond this time, or vice versa, the carbon will be puzzled, but there will not be cars if the carbon is then eaten. Rabbi Yehuda says, the general rule is, if the intent regarding beyond this time precedes the intent for beyond its allowable place, the carbon becomes pickle and there is cars. If the intent for beyond its allowable place precedes the intent for beyond this time, the carbon is puzzled and there is no cars. The Chum say, in either case, the carbon is puzzled and there is no cars. Fact, the Gemara. According to the view that if the leftover flour, meaning the shirayim, becomes deficient between the taking of the kaimitz and the burning, the kaimitz is still burned, and we have established that this shirayim is also to eat, what's the halacha regarding whether the burning of the kaimitz will be effective to establish shirayim as pigel? For example, if he had in mind to eat the shirayim after its proper time, and to remove them from being subject to me'ilah. So Rav Huna said, even according to Rabbi Kiva, says that zrika is effective to remove me'ilah from a carbon that has left the azara, that's because it's still in existence, and it's only possible because of an external factor. However, regarding the shirayim that has become deficient, which is possible on account of its own, the burning of the kaimitz will not be effective in removing the me'ilah iser. Rava asked, we should say exactly the opposite. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who said that the zrika does not help to remove the me'ilah for kabbanas that have left the azara, that's only regarding kabbanas that have left the azara, since they're not in the azara for the zrika to be effective on them. However, regarding the shirayim that has become deficient, which is inside the azara, the burning of the kaimitz should be effective to remove the iser of me'ilah from it. Rava said, I can prove this from our Mishnah, which said that if the kayan does the kmitza to eat the shirayim outside the azara or a kazayas of the shirayim outside the azara, it's possible. Rachia taught a similar brisa that left off the case or a kazayas. Now, why would he have left out that case? Presumably it's because the case of the Braisa even includes where the Shirayim was deficient to the point that there was only a Kazayas left. Still, the Mishnah says that in this case, an improper intent would create Pigla and would create a Chiyav Karis. We see that the burning of the Kaimitz can establish the Shirayim as Pigla and could therefore also remove Me'ilah even if the Shirayim is deficient. Everything more, Abaye said, it's not the proper way to understand the Braisa. And maybe the Braisa follows the view of Rabbi Lazar, who says in a Mishnah that one is not chayiv for offering a kazayis of a kaimitz outside the Azara. Rather, he'd only be chayiv if he offered the entire kaimitz outside the Azara. Since, according to his view, the Braisa could not have given the case of or a kazayis of the kaimitz outside, it also did not give the case of a kazayis of the shirayim. In fact, the Braisa can't follow Rabbi Lazar because he says in a Mishnah that the burning of the kaimitz without the levain is not kosher, and the Braisa gives the case of the burning of the kaimitz alone. And furthermore, the Braisa is referring to the kaimitz of the chatas mincha, which doesn't have levain brought with it. In fact, we find there of Dimanim of the Amoyer, Rabbi Lazar also said that the Braisa is referring to the kaimitz of the chatas mincha and follows the view of the Tana, Rabbi Lazar. Rava later retracted what he said rather, the burning of the koimit on the mizbeach will not affect shirayim that have become deficient. He bases on a braisa which he said has to follow Rabbi Akiva and implies that a koimit of a mincha has no effect on shirayim that's deficient. Abaye said the braisa can be understood as following the view of Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why the koimit has no effect on shirayim that's deficient. However, it may be that according to Rabbi Akiva, the koimit would have an effect on shirayim that's deficient. Zokt the Mishnah, if the kohen intended to eat half of a kezayis of the shirayim the next day and to burn half of a kezayis of the koimetz the next day, the mincha is kosher because the intent for eating and for burning does not combine to create the minimum required amount of a kezayis. Flecht the Gemara, the Mishnah suggests that the reason the two intents don't combine is that one intent was for eating, the other was for burning. However, in the similar case of eating half a kezayis something that is meant to be eaten and eating another half a kezayis something that's not meant to be eaten, it would combine. Now, the earlier part of the Mishnah specifically said that the intent only makes it possible where he intends to eat something that's meant to be eaten or burn something that's meant to be burned. And fitting Rabbi Yirmiya said, this later part of the Mishnah is the view of Rabbi Eliezer, who argues in Rabbanan Mishnah and says that when an intent is made to eat something that's meant to be burned or to burn something that's meant to be eaten beyond this place or beyond this time, it does make the carbon puzzle. Second Teretz, Abaye says that this later part of the Mishnah can even be found in the view of the Rabbanan. And the inference from the Mishnah is not that an intent to eat something that's not meant to be eaten combines, but rather that if he intends to eat half of a kezayis and then another half of a kezayis of something that's meant to be eaten, they combine. According to Bai, what's a chiddush? The early parts of the Mishnah teach that intents to eat something that are meant to be eaten combined, and we can also learn from there that if only things that are meant to be eaten combined, certainly intents for eating and burning do not combine. So what's this part of the Mishnah coming to teach? The Mishnah is teaching that intents for eating and burning do not combine. We would not be able to learn this from the fact that intents for eating something that is meant to be eaten and to eat something that is not meant to be eaten do not combine, because we would say that those don't combine over there because it involves an intent to do something that's not the normal way of doing it. However, an intent to eat something that's meant to be eaten, an intent to burn something that's meant to be burned, maybe they do combine because they're both an intent to do something that's meant to be done. Therefore, the Mishnah needs to teach that these intents also do not combine. Hadlach perakol hamenachos.